Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. My name is Jacob Restituto, and I'm a musician from Northport, New York. And today we have the absolute pleasure of having Tyler Walsh here on the channel. Tyler is a music... How would you describe yourself? A music curator of sorts? You're just in the music industry, bro. Like, and I appreciate your perspective on the music industry, and I'd love to... I'm looking forward to this chat.
Yeah, I appreciate you for having me on. Definitely, I've heard curator. I just have an affinity towards music and independent musicians and emerging artists, so try to put a spotlight on them. Also work for Gary Vaynerchuk's VaynerMedia and VaynerX, just helping out with like artist engagement for all the campaigns we do, as well as just on the side, like do content and just trying to really uplift emerging independent artists. But appreciate you for having me on.
I appreciate you for taking the time, man. I know you got a busy schedule, so I'm looking forward to chatting, especially because I know that you have a very unique perspective on the music industry, in the sense of like you like you mentioned in your intro, you have like an affinity towards like the independent rising artist and wanting to put the spotlight on them. And I don't think there's a lot of people that are necessarily interested in that. Everybody wants the star that's already there so they can kind of profit off the star, but you're actually interested in the actual, I guess what you, the old school would be like A&R, artist and development. You want to see them, A&R is not artist relations, but like the A&D is the artist development of like watching an artist grow rather than how the new music industry is. You find the artist that's already grown on their own and then pluck them out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how like the industry has shifted over the past 20 years. I wish I like just to observe it, it would have been cool. But there's so many talented artists out there that I feel like they don't have the resources to, maximize on their talent. And I just want to be the type of guy that comes in and helps artists out, no strings attached. Like, I just want to be that guy that's like, hey, like, here's how like you can increase your presence on TikTok. These are how you run effective ad funnels on, you know, Facebook and Meta. And this is how you like build a brand and a fan base and a community, that whole nine. So just trying to help artists out there. But yeah, it's definitely interesting how, artists in development. I see some like boutique emerging labels are starting to do it again, just because I think of the... just the marketplace right now with TikTok and like, it's easier now to, I feel like, build the star because they have all these resources. But this is something I've seen like in the past year.
That's really interesting, man. I'm so pumped for this conversation because everything you just said kind of aligns with all the things that I'm so passionate about. Like, one, being an artist myself, I of course want to see my own growth and success, but in that process, though, when I first started out, there was no blueprint. So I had to figure out the blueprint of what am I doing? How am I getting where I want to go? But in that, I've documented everything because I want to create that blueprint for other artists, man. Like for example, when I first started out, I wanted to, like, I was like, all right, I was a huge fan of Ed Sheeran. I was like, I want to be where Ed Sheeran is. And now, granted, Ed Sheeran wasn't the number one artist in the world at the time. He was like, kind of just, this was the 2014 era. So he was like, kind of opening for Taylor Swift still. He had just released his, I think, Multiply album. So, like, he was known, but he wasn't, like, the Ed Sheeran that he's right. So, yeah. I was like, but how did he get there? You know, I had read an article or something like that, because articles were still a thing back then. that he had done over 300 gigs in a year, and I had just dropped out of college, and I could barely get, like, a gig every 6 months. And I was like, how did he even do that? Like, I'm willing to put in the work. I just don't even know how to get the gigs. You know what I mean? So I decided, I was like, I'm going to figure it out. And then I'm going to document everything, and then just try as much as I can to learn what I can and then get to where I want to go, but also bring as many people as I can with me. So I'm so pumped to hear that you're kind of on the other side of that from an artist in development, trying to do the same thing for other artists. I think it's phenomenal, man. That's so cool.
Appreciate that. And even like what you're doing at a macro scale, it's really gonna like change things. Think about 20 years, 30 years from now, when there's another aspiring pop artist and they see your career and they see exactly what you did, and they can watch what you did and learn from it and try different things and do the same things you did. It's just it's cool that there's outlets now for that are more accessible worldwide than ever before.
I would love to break the stigma of the starving artist. You know, like it's everybody says it's impossible to make it in the music industry. And look, it's hard, but it's also like hard to be the number one architect in Manhattan. Like, you know, like if I
It's,
but
yeah.
people don't realize that, like, you know, if you put in the work, like, and consistency, you
That's all it
wait a
is.
while.
It's all it is. It's like, it's crazy because part of the journey, you just learn so much. And but yeah, I agree that, you know, anything in life, if you want to do it, it's just a lot of persistence and failure and overcoming that failure and learning and a lot of criticism and hate along the way. I first started receiving some like hate comments on TikTok, like 6 months ago. I'm like, that, I feel like that means like you're doing something right when you first start getting hate, you know?
I hear you, man. I actually, you know, it's funny as I screenshot all the hate comments that I get on my YouTube channel, and I just have them in the in a folder. Not that I want to do like a anything bad with them in the future, but just like where I get what I want to go, I'll be like, look at all these people that said that I would never get there, kind of thing. You know what I mean? But that was the perfect segue, actually, talking about the hard work and the persistence to my first like conversation point with you is, the how you got your job over at VaynerMedia is a very it's a unique story, and I'd love if you could share that because it's a cool people don't think that there's you have to know everybody to kind of get to the next level, right? The music industry is a lot about relationships, but sometimes it's not, and that cold call can kind of get you into the door. So I'd love if you could tell your story.
So I'll lead up with some context, just to set the stage. So I was studying music business at a really small school, Fredonia, which is an hour away from Buffalo. They had like a music industry degree, but it was really small, probably only like 30 graduates in that like degree pool, like our class each year. It was like very tiny. So didn't really know anybody coming out of the industry, and I took the first job I can get, which was basically pharmaceutical marketing. So just like talking to doctors and just doing stuff that I hated, and I was like, man, screw this. And I visited New York in like July, and
What year would
I
this have
just
been?
this was last year,
Oh,
2021.
wow. Oh, my
Yeah,
gosh.
so this is recent. This is recent. And I was just feeling so inspired from the trip. I'm like, I just gotta find a way to make it to New York and just do what I love. So Gary V was following me on Twitter because I was just kind of interacting with the BeFriends community, just being active. And one day I saw he was active because I had my notifications on, just because I thought his message always resonated with me. And he was just really active one day, so I DM'd him and I said, I'll quit my job on the spot for a chance to intern for you. And if it's not the best hire you've ever made, I'll pay you for wasting your time. And then I think 2 minutes later, he threw me in a group chat with my one of my bosses, Tyler, also his name. And about a month later, 3 weeks later, I moved to New York and started there. Also, I have to add that I talked to some of like the HR people about this story, and they're like usually when Gary hires somebody, it takes like months for them to like a month to like a year for them to like actually like you know transition. But I think I was just so like, I just wanted to
Ready.
like get in there. I was just like, I'll do whatever. Like, yeah.
Dude, that's so sick, man. So did you start as a hire or did you start as an intern?
I started as a resident, so it was paid, but it's not like full time.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's actually a really
Yeah.
interesting business model. So I guess is that how it works? Is there interns and residents? It's like almost like a hospital. My wife's a nurse, so like they have interns and residents, and then you become a doctor. But like, is that how it
Yeah.
works? It's like they
Kind of,
have.
yeah.
That's so fascinating.
They do have interns though. They do have interns that like earn you know school credit. I can't I think
Sure. Yeah.
they there's pay. I don't know, but
Okay.
I love the environment though. It's a great culture where everybody just wants to see each other win, which is so
Sure.
amazing. And everybody there was just so welcoming and warm, just to like all the new people and very diverse group, and it's just great there.
Yeah, it's remarkable. So you and I first met in the city, in New York City, when I met Mike Boyd and you. You guys were together back in, when would that have been? A couple months ago,
Think of
three.
June.
Okay, June. So sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we met back in June, and That's where we kind of started chatting and stuff. But my question is, how did you go from getting the first hire at VaynerMedia to then now working in the music aspect of that department with Mike Boyd?
Yeah, so I started off doing editorial content for 137, which is Gary's media hub. So I was writing articles about emerging musicians and making TikToks about it.
Oh, still
But
all about music at this point. You for
yeah.
137, it was still you were still music honed.
Yeah. And I was there for about 6 months. And I knew, like, I was like, all right, I'm in, like, in the right direction because I'm still doing music. It's just not exactly where I pictured myself, like, with it. 'Cause I was like, I wasn't particularly a strong writer or a creator at the time. And then one day Mike called me and was like, hey, you're gonna join my team in Vayner, and we do music campaigns, and we're just gonna build this thing together. And he's been a terrific mentor, terrific leader. He looks out for the best interests of everybody, and I wouldn't be where I am right now without him. So I gotta give him and all the other leaders of Vayner, like, the roses, because, like, they do a hell of a job, and they're amazing people.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Boyd's a real good guy, man, for sure.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. No, that's mad cool. And so, what is your role looking like now? So, switching more from the 137 editorial aspect to now working under Mike Boyd, who is the head of how did he artist relations, I think he said, at VaynerMedia, right?
Yeah, he head of music, and he also does, like, I think the broader one right now is head of music, just because we're still trying to build it out. But head of artist relations and music strategies, like, the long.
Music strategy, yes, great, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we're just doing a lot of brand campaigns. So clients want to work with musicians, and we find authentic ways to connect them. So, like, for example, I know Mike told this story previously when he hopped on, but he said, when Budweiser wanted to do their NFT, he reached out and was like, hey, do you drink beer? And then the artist said yes. She was like, oh, cool, what beer do you drink? And some of them had, like, really cool stories connecting to Budweiser, and just so happened to, like, line up perfectly. And yeah, we do that, as well as helping coordinate artists to, like, come through to 137, just for, like, media, and trying to, like, make it, like, a press stop, for when people come to New York, and help out with, like, music distribution. Kind of like, we just get tapped a lot for, like, resources when it comes to artists and music as a whole, just throughout the whole VaynerX ecosystem.
Do you find that you see yourself working with a lot more with unsigned artists or independent artists or versus label artists, or is it a 50-50?
I would say definitely leaning towards unsigned artists at the moment. We do work, like, I'd say a good, probably, honestly, it may be 50-50, because the Budweiser campaign was, it was like about 50-50 split.
Do you find that the music industry is leaning more towards the unsigned artist, or do you think the major labels still have a big hand in the game?
I think the major labels definitely still have a big hand in the game. I think that they are a terrific resource when you need them. Everybody hates the labels until you need them. So, like,
When would you
I don't
need
have.
them then? Like, what does that mean to you?
So, for example, a song that starts getting a lot of traction on TikTok. Actually, I'll add a little bit of context from what I've gauged in the industry and how it works, is, like, they don't try to force something to really go viral on TikTok, but, like, if something starts organically getting traction, then they start adding a little gasoline to the fire. They start getting creators to, get involved with using the sound, and then they start trying to license the sound out, and just trying to find different ways to monetize the work for both themselves and the artist. But let's say, like, a song starts going semi-viral on TikTok, they will, start paying influencers to try to maximize it and get it as big as possible. And they'll do, like, different interpolations of the work and have influencers use that, which is, like, the sped up stuff and the mashups. And that's really big trend right now. But yeah, it's always it's knowing in the back of your mind, though, as in, from an artist perspective, just remembering that they're a business too, and they're probably going to have their and they're probably going to have their interests top of mind before yours. So just trying to play that, you know, both ways as an artist. But there are some terrific labels out there. You know, yeah.
No, that's really interesting. And it's an interesting concept. Like, it's a really good quote that you had. Everybody hates a label until you need one. That's really just an interesting concept just to kind of mull over as an artist. But yeah, so, and it's also interesting just to see where things are leaning towards in the music industry, and like who decides to go major label and who decides to stay independent.
Yeah,
for sure. So I'm one of as a content creator yourself, as somebody that works with a lot of content creators and artists and stuff, and as a big fan of Gary V himself, I've learned, like, one thing that he says is like, you know, provide value to your audience. And one of my biggest questions as a musician, and typically the two value, like, is the two value playlists he uses are entertainment and education, right? And then there was a new one that I heard recently from him being utility, right? But I guess it kind of goes under education, right? As an artist, how do you see musicians doing really well in providing value to their fans? What does that look like to you?
I think it's insight, because a lot of people, you know, when they make content, insight and relatability kind of intertwine, or not relatability, I guess so. So like, for example, someone posts like behind the scenes of like life on tour or in the studio, whatever, they're providing an insight into like a day in their life that, you know, someone on TikTok wouldn't normally see or think about. And like, people are like, what is tour really like? You know, what's it like? Or the after parties, like, what's it like being on stage, pre-show rituals, stuff like that. Kind of, you know, fuels their curiosity. Definitely invoking emotion, that can also kind of intertwine with entertainment. You know, using relatability with like, oh, I see this on TikTok. It's like, you know, insert like there's like a relatable like saying, and then they start singing the song or, you know, doing something like that. That's a great play. But that's a great question though, because there's so many different avenues, and I think it's so unique to kind of what the artist is trying to bring with their brand, you know?
Yeah, because it's a very interesting part of it. That was partly a selfish question in the sense of like, I'm trying to figure it out myself as an artist, because, for example, I'll give an example, like my personal example is like, I took that and I was like, okay, I've produced all my own music for the past however many years. Like, I've learned a lot about music. I know a lot of music theory. I know a lot about music production. So like I came across years ago, like what would be titled as reaction videos on YouTube, where like people are talking about other people's music. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. But like, they're just saying whether they like it or not. I'm like, I could totally take this to the next level of like, oh, this is the synthesizer they're using. This is why they're using this. This is how they're editing the vocals. This is how they're, they layered the vocals this way because of this and that. Like, I just knew all of it because I did it all myself. But so I was providing education to the followers, but I was becoming too known as the guy that talked about other people's music rather than my own, if that makes sense. And I was like, this is cool because at first it was cool because it's growing the brand, it's growing awareness, but it was growing the wrong brand, essentially. If that's even possible, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
So I was, so I'm like trying to pull back and be like, okay, well, like how do I provide value to them still? Cause that was definitely providing value, but it was not where I wanted to go. So like as an artist, I'm like dissecting, like, what does that look like? What is value to the customer essentially?
Yeah. I think one of the unique things about you is, you know, you're a full-time independent musician, and I know you document everything, and that's kind of like the insight. Like, I imagine, like, I know you're on top of your stuff when it comes to content. You probably had like a lot of behind the scenes stuff at the concert and like studio moments, rehearsals. And I think it's pairing that with hooks and retentions, like retention strategies, you know, so like just to provide the value, like, over time, I guess.
So like just continue to think of it as a long tail rather than the, oh, let's get a quick viral video to go off.
I guess where the perspective where I'm coming from is one of my good friends, Daniel Wall. He's like one of the best storytellers that I know personally. And one of the things he does in all of his videos is he comes up with this clever hook, and then he just waits until like the very end to tell you like that. It's like, can we talk about this? And you'll never guess why. And then he won't tell you that why until the very end. And I know it's different for a musician, but just trying to find a reason for somebody to watch until the end. And it's an interesting game, but it's like we were talking about earlier, persistence and consistency, and you figure out your way and what works for you and the audience you're building, and then they're gonna come. And
What was that guy's name? Danny Wall?
Daniel Wall.
Daniel Wall. Yeah, very cool. Yeah. It's also an interesting argument from just from a creator's perspective, where like I hear so many artists to some degree, like I really enjoy making the content, but sometimes I'm like, yo, shoot, I just want to make music. I don't want to have to make a TikTok, you know what I mean? Whatever the case is, right? So, but I genuinely most of the time enjoy it. So, for the artist that doesn't enjoy it, what does that look like to you? What's do you have any thoughts on that concept?
Yeah, definitely. I was actually thinking about this earlier today, and I think it's like just having a camera in the corner of a room, and then just finding the key moments and just cropping it and adding a little bit of text, spending the 5 to 10 minutes a day, or even if it takes a little longer, like 30 minutes a day, it's worth that investment, because short form videos has been dominating in a way that hasn't been seen or scaled since like early Instagram, like 2013, when people saw that opportunity for that organic growth. And it's probably going to be another few years after this wave that we see another thing happen at this scale,
Absolutely. That's really interesting. You're right. All it takes is just a little, and to some degree, another popular quote is, quality is subjective. That's the word. Quality is subjective. So
It's
like
true.
what you think, like you might think, oh, it's just a terrible camera in the corner of the room. Who's going to want to watch that? It's like, well, you never know. Like the quality is subjective of the content.
Yeah, and I forgot who told me this, but someone said there's five viral moments that happen every day to somebody. It's just there aren't like cameras on you 24/7 to capture it. And it's like,
Wow, that's
I
really interesting.
yeah, it's like I'll give an example. Fresco Trey, if you go back on his TikTok, he had a moment where he was just in the studio. He hopped out of the booth. He was hearing his song for the first time played back, and the camera was just randomly recording. He hops on top of like the console that houses like the mixers or whatever, and he just starts rapping, and then everybody in the room's going crazy. And it was just that like genuine, authentic reaction. And it just so happened that camera's recording all on him. He posted it, went viral. That song has probably like 5 million streams on Spotify, something like that. But it got like, I want to say like at least 3 million views, somewhere around
That's
there.
a really interesting concept. So it's like just finding those viral moments throughout your day, or throughout your day to day, essentially.
And it's extremely hard for like emerging artists to always be recording, because they don't have the same resources or team surrounding them. But just trying to find time to at least like, even if you like you're just writing a cool chord, like you're just strumming the guitar, anything, you never know what could come of it.
Hundred
It's like,
percent.
yeah, it's always everything that blows up on TikTok that I've seen, like it's always the stuff that you don't expect that goes viral, It's weird.
100%, man. I totally understand what you're saying. Man, another cool concept personally of like why I record everything is like, I have some big goals for my music career, right? So, but like, it's really interesting to like some of my favorite artists. I would have loved to see the moment they created the song. You know what I mean? Like some of the coolest songs out there, I'm like, oh, this is such a great song, but like that it's just that's all it is right now. But like if imagine all these artists that you love, they actually had footage of them in the studio writing the song or recording the song. Like that's why I record everything, because it's like I never know where any of these songs are gonna go, and how sick would it be that to also have the footage of me 17 years from now when we look back, be like, oh, that's when he wrote that song when he was 27 years old. You know what I mean? Like hopefully it doesn't take that long, but
It's so true, because even like documentaries are coming out now about artists, and like, but now like the documentaries are in like real time, and people aren't going to look back until like they
Nah, man.
go,
Did
they
you
live.
have you seen
Well,
that Kanye documentary?
it's terrific. It's
Dude,
crazy.
like the fact that they had all that footage is like that. I'm like, it was like a confirmation of everything that I'm doing, because
Yeah.
like I haven't seen anything like that where it's like, oh my gosh, here's a guy that really obviously is like the top of the game, but he had footage from when he was a nobody, and like that was so sick to see, man.
Yeah,
that was so cool.
Yeah, you definitely have the best like content game because you vlog, you make shorts. Like even the fact that you post on YouTube Shorts is mind blowing. You know, TikTok. Do you post on Reels, Facebook Reels?
Yeah. I post my Instagram Reels to Facebook. Should I post organically to? Actually, no. I actually use a platform. Because it's all about, I feel like, learning your personality type. I'm really bad at being like, I have to post today. So what I just do, I make a bunch of content and then I schedule to post. So I actually do post on Facebook individually.
Okay.
Through that platform, yeah.
Hell yeah. That's dope. Yeah. People forget that Google owns YouTube and, you know, YouTube is TikTok's biggest competitor right now. And they're going to start putting, you know, highly searched keywords right onto Google, and your shorts are going to be right there reaping the benefits. Mm-hmm. So if you people like, this is just a broad example, but like best food in New York City, just think about those people dominating, the people that are dominating those keywords right now are the ones that are going to reap the benefits in 2 years when, you know, shorts is littered all over YouTube. And emerging artists can make that same play for their genres, their cities, you know, the brands they like, whatever that they want to do. But YouTube, it's all about titling for shorts, and I know TikTok's making that big push to SEO, but I know I went on a little tangent.
No, hey, dude, I'm like, I'm like taking notes. I love this stuff. Like, this is like, yeah. This is right up my alley. I find this stuff so interesting. I'm the guy, I'm like the quote unquote anti-musician. Like, I'm like the guy that loves to make music, but I also love the analytics of it, where like most musicians are like, screw that, like that's not creative. I'm like, no, give me both sides. Like, I love both. It's a pro and con to some degree, because the pro is like, I love the analytics. The con is sometimes I'm a little too in my head when I'm
with analytical.
With music. So it's like, it's both sides of the coin. But I love this stuff. I find this so fast. Like, I was reading an article yesterday about how TikTok's buying warehouses, and I was like, ooh, this is really interesting.
That's crazy. Why are they buying warehouses?
Apparently. So
all shopping.
Yeah, so with like live stream shopping, apparently, if I understood it correctly, like it's really the industry's going in this direction of like live stream shopping, where like these creators are like, hey, this is what I have kind of thing, and you could buy it right on live, and if they have it in their warehouse, they'll ship it out just like Amazon does.
That's crazy.
If I understood it correctly, the alternative is the fact of like, now I think Thursday Night Football is hosted only on Amazon Prime, which is like,
yeah, so people buy on Prime and they don't want to leave their house, and
exactly becoming the hub for everything. So yeah. The alternative is maybe TikTok will go in the direction of kind of like trying to not maybe trying to be an Amazon, but like also having where people can buy stuff from them.
I know we're getting off topic from music, but that's a genius play from Amazon, because they're doing it on Black Friday.
That's what it was. Yes, that's
yeah,
what
they're
it
supposed
was,
to
yes.
go to the stores. That's crazy.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. I'm sorry, I misquoted it, but you're right. It was the Black Friday football game.
Yeah.
Yes, hosted only on Amazon Prime. Exactly. But now people are on Prime watching football on the biggest shopping day of the year. Like, it's insane. It's brilliant, man. It's so it gets me so pumped. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
It's cool because like artists can like find clever ways to market like that, you know? And it's like, I feel like anything is possible in this world, you know, and there's always a cool play.
So that's a perfect segue into being somebody that works with a lot of artists and emerging artists and artists that are continuing to get success, but also some that haven't seen the success yet. Like, you see a lot of artists, right? So what are some plays that you've seen artists play that you're like, yo, that's a clever move and it worked?
Yeah, definitely artist collaboration. Just not even in like a play, just you know, the collaboration you're using, it's like a mutual benefit for both fan bases, and it's smart. You know, clever TikTok hooks always get me. I'm like, damn, that was really good, and like now I'm hooked. You know, building a story within like a certain song, I always think that's cool. I went to a show last night, the Scarlet Opera. They're a new band signed to Republic Records, and they just had a crazy stage presence, and like just kind of like Queen, you know, vibes. It was just crazy. But there's a lot of different things. It's It's just I think the common denominator though is that they're all unique, and like that's why they do so well, is because they've never been seen before.
Yeah, and authentic to themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. Yeah, that's really interesting. I just recently watched the Kiss documentary. Have you seen that one yet?
I've not. Is it good?
It was pretty cool. It was pretty sick because like we were chatting before we went live about the or started recording about the concert that we from my concert that I put on 2 weeks ago, and it was a big pressure, and I was like spending a ton of money, and like it was kind of worrisome a little to some degree. It put a lot of pressure, but hearing from them who like their management was spending buckets of money on them, and they were like in crazy debt. And they actually say in the documentary that they were so in debt that they maxed out all their credit lines that they actually had to go borrow money from the mob. They were so in debt. And it was like, now thank God I'm not at that point yet, you know what I mean? But it's like to see that, oh wow, the investment really paid off for them was like, okay, we're good. We're gonna keep going kind of thing, you know what I
It's
mean?
all macro, man. It's all macro. And that's like back to that point of you don't need the label till you need the label, you know? And it's
Yeah, well,
like
the exactly.
you continue to invest in yourself, and then you get to this point where it's like, all right, I feel like I built this good foundation, good fan base. Now I can approach a label, and I know I can get a good deal that A will like put me in the best position to win, but also financially makes sense, and you know, that type of thing.
How do you define a good deal for with an artist and a label?
Think a good deal is anything that an artist gets at least they keep at least 50% of what they got, you know, because some deals you can go into and like you know it's going to be a joint venture, and like that's okay as long as you know what you're getting yourself into, because you know if they own 50% they're going to want to push you out just as much as you want to push yourself out, you know,
Interesting.
they're just as
Oh,
invested
that's
as
really
you.
interesting. Yeah, I hear you on that, actually. Yeah, very
But if
interesting.
some, but if a label were to take like, let's say, you know, all of your publishing, then, you know, they're going to exploit that without, you know, like you don't have any say at that point.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Also, I say, sorry, exploit not in a bad way, just as in, you know, it's in any publisher's best interest to exploit a work to maximize its royalties.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very interesting. The label game's a really interesting thing, and it really stuck out with me what you said. Like, everybody hates a label until you need one. It's a really,
Yeah.
really interesting concept. It's to some degree, it's almost like the whole, everybody hates tax. Everybody's like, oh, tax the rich until you start making money, and now you're like, oh, hold on, let
Exactly.
me second guess this concept. It's kind of just this, like, until you're in the situation where you need that, it's unrelatable. But that's a very interesting point, just thought process.
Yeah.
I would love to continue in the conversation in the realm of the like just creating content as an artist, in the sense of like. Or just in general as a creator, I noticed that you also create your own content, which is also, I've been really enjoying it. So like, tell me a little bit about that process, in the sense of like, you kind of almost are acting like, so Gary's 1:37 p.m. is a, I guess like essentially like a, like a just, a, would you consider it a news out, a media outlet, a news outlet? Like it's like you're, how would you
Yeah, I think
consider that?
I would say it's just a cultural hub for just everything that's going on that's like gonna affect things. Like I don't know, it's just like they just have a good pipeline for getting things out that matter and that are culturally relevant, so.
Because so that's a perfect synopsis of what they do, and I feel like you are doing that exact thing within the music industry on TikTok. Like I've been watching your TikToks, and I'm like learning a
Appreciate
ton
it.
about like just different artists and their marketing, and just why people are doing well. If I haven't heard of this artist, why I should hear about this artist. So tell me a little bit behind your thought process behind that. So why did you essentially start creating content like that?
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, my AirPods are like bugging
No
out.
worries.
Okay. You repeat the end of the question? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. No. So, I'm gonna just essentially rephrase the question. So, I noticed that you recently started posting your own kind of content online. I mean, you've been posting for a while, but like I've noticed an interesting direction of your content where you started to follow like this kind of media, let me inform you kind of informational kind of content where it's like you're showing stories of the artist or somebody's come up or who you should know as an artist. And I found that I've just been really finding it really interesting and really, you do your research. So I would love to hear your thought process behind that of why you started kind of going in that direction and where you see yourself going with that.
I appreciate it. I keep saying this, but I'll provide some context. So I started.
Well, your context has been phenomenal. So please keep providing all the context. It's good stuff.
So back in October, I think there was a Vayner All Hands and Gary was like, he's like, look, if you're not posting 4 TikToks a day, he's like, I don't care. Like if you're, you know, he's like, I don't care if you're on the legal team. I don't care if you're operations. I don't care if you're media. I don't even care if like, you know, you're a janitor. He's like, I want people to be posting TikToks, learn how the platform works. And I was just like, all right, like I'm going to do, I think it was 3. So I was like, I'm going to do, actually, no, I did do 4. I did 4 a day from October. All the way up till I think January, just till I was posting TikToks, but I had no clue what I was doing. And I was just like learning as I go. And then I figured out the style I wanted to create. Cause first I was like, life in New York City, quote of the day, like my favorite food spots in New York. And then it was like, all right, but like this isn't what I enjoy creating. And it all just kind of came back to music. And then I'm still trying to figure that out right now, but kind of leaning towards like the music marketing side currently. But definitely want to like still put artists on the spotlight, you know. But I was just posting daily for probably a year straight. I was doing 3 a day from October to March, because I remember that was when one of our country music campaigns, I was doing it still then. But yeah, I think it's TikTok is definitely like a learn as you go, and
I think always, that's all the music industry is learn as you go.
it's all about iteration, I guess. You know, if you post something, you see it's not working, it's not hitting with your audience, just kind of changing little things, and then just kind of adapting and moving on. But
what are your thoughts on, as a musician or somebody in the music industry, LinkedIn? What would you like to see? Because I know that it's a hot place. And there's a lot of things going on in it, because it's changed from being the help me get a job place to a content. Like, and I actually see my friends now. Typically, it's a bit more white collar, I feel like, in the business realm content, in the sense of like I see a lot of my friends that are accountants or like in the financial industry or like something like that. Like, but they scroll through it like they scroll through Facebook. But I'm actually like watching them do it. I'm like, this is so wild to me. Now, I'm curious, like, what do you, how would you like to see, what would be a best practice, I guess is the question. What do you see as best practices for musicians to get into that?
You know, what's funny is I had an artist manager ask me that 2 days ago in the office. And I said, I don't know. But then I was, that's a lot of the industry. That's a lot of like learning as you go. And then I was ideating 100%. On, I'm like, probably honestly it'd be showing the business of it, you know, because like coming from it from the white collar perspective, it's like that's where you can get investors to like where you don't need a label. It's like you can create your own firm, you know. It's like show the business side of like the breakdown of your concert revenue or like you know, those accomplishments or like how your merch operation is or like the logistics of everything, you know. People get impressed by that. It's like the, I guess that would probably be the best approach, because I see that's what Mr. Beast is doing now. And his manager, Reed, I think he got him on LinkedIn. He's showing the business side of, you know, the whole creator economy, which is such a new and fascinating space. And I feel like nobody really talks about how the business side operates. So that's a area that really interests me.
No, that's really interesting. You're right, because there is a lot of business, obviously. People don't think the music industry is a business, but it's a flat out business just like anything else. Yeah. So there are a lot of business things that you're right. Even to some degree, how do brand deals work? You know, like telling the story of like getting my first brand deal or, you know, like, or even in the search of brand deals, like how you're going about searching for them, like all these things, you're right. Just telling that story, telling that narrative is a very interesting way for artists to kind of get onto that platform.
Yeah. I would love to see you try it and then letting me know how it goes, and maybe we can ideate.
Yeah,
Let's
man,
collab on that. Let's collab on that.
I would love to. I think that's a great idea. I actually just recently, that's funny, it's perfect, actually, perfect timing, because I just recently went through the finances of the concert and essentially broke, because I was like, okay, one, I want to do this, I want to keep doing this, so let me learn, like, let me just learn everything I can from this one, like, and kind of roll into the future. And so I just went through all the purchases that I made in the concert, everything, and I kind of what's the word? I put them into their own category, essentially. So like, oh, this is how much I spent on rehearsal spaces, rented rehearsal spaces. This is how much I spent on rented gear, musicians, like the venue, cameras, all this stuff, travel, like promotion, even to like printing, because I printed so many things. You know, like how much money I spent on printing posters or you know, VIP cards or all this stuff, right? So like, and I was like, oh, you know, and like part of my goal as a musician is the transparency of being a musician. And so it's like, I love just sharing all this stuff. Like, I have nothing to hide with that. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just share it out there. So I was going to make a video on YouTube talking about this is what it costs to make put on a concert. And like, you know, if you're interested in doing the same thing, this now you have a general idea. You know what I mean? But that's a perfect LinkedIn post. You know, comment, so that's a brilliant idea. So I'm gonna figure out how to get kind of put that out there and put it on LinkedIn.
And you know, if you're making a video out of that, you can always repurpose the script and, you know, change the copy to be native to the LinkedIn platform, you know.
Yeah,
Yeah. But
that's a really interesting idea.
keep me posted on that for sure.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's you got my wheels turning on LinkedIn for sure, for sure.
I'm glad.
100%. Well, I really appreciate the time, so I want to wrap it up in a minute or two. But I have two questions for you. The first question is, I love giving props for props for doing. You, like I said, you have your hands in the music industry, so I would love to hear your perspective on some artists that you think are killing it right now, and that you just think that really deserve the credit of like, man, these people are killing it, and I just want to give them the credit where it's due.
Yeah. Definitely want to give props, definitely you for content. I
Oh, I
haven't seen,
appreciate that, man.
I honestly though, content output, and like it's so hard to put yourself out there, and like the video of you in Times Square, like doing that, like you know, just like even like walking up to people, like people, like it's like you know, it's so hard to do that. And some artists remain in their shell when it comes to content. It seems like you try to challenge yourself to become a better person, a better artist, and I gotta give that props.
Appreciate that. Thank you very
Of
much.
course, of course. Fresco Trey, I've known him for a little over a year now, and he's just a hard worker. He's been grinding since, you know, he was a kid, and that's music is all he's ever wanted to do, and he's done everything to try to get him in the best position there. So props to him. Props to Satoma. She's a really cool alternative, like pop, hip hop, R&B artist from Arizona. There's just something about her sound and her personality that's like really crazy, and she's killing TikTok. Yeah, those are the two that come first to mind, but there's so many terrific artists that I'm really grateful to work with every day and just try to help, you know, give them platform and try to like help them out any way I can. So props to all the artists that I, you know, talk to and work with, because they're also talented.
100%, man. I love that. It's really, and Fresco Trey is killer, man. He's like, you can feel something about him that he's just got this presence, like he's going places.
Yeah,
He's killing the
100%.
game for sure. You
Yeah.
know, it's really it's like one of those things where it's like a ticking time bomb. You know it's about to blow at some point. You just don't know
Yeah.
when.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, and obviously he's still seen. He's already seen some, you know, great, I guess, progress, success, whatever you want to call it, right? But like, he's killing it, man. It's been cool to
Yeah.
watch his journey for sure.
Yeah.
But one question I'd like to wrap up with everybody, as I actually read the last same last question is, what is one thing that you know currently now in your career that you wish you knew at the beginning of your career?
That's a good question. Mean,
Stumped him.
on a
Stumped him.
heater. Hold up. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pull up my Notion, because I like write down like all my learnings.
There you go. Yeah, pop off a couple of those.
I'd love to just provide some insight. And this is probably, you know, learn this in the past year myself, so I'm still new to this. this whole thing, this whole industry. Let's see. Honestly, actually, no, I don't even need that. One thing, this was like one of my first all hands when I was at 137. It was the most important thing in the world is how someone feels at the end of a conversation with them. It's like just spreading more love than hate. Like that's all that, like, you know, just the world has so much hatred, and just being positive and nice and kind to everybody and just trying to uplift others. It's like, it's what makes the world go around. And I think it's the most important thing. So definitely just trying to help others and be nice to other people. And it's just key, especially because there will be, you will come across negative people, negative energy, and, you know, it's very toxic, and it makes you sometimes want to, you know, match that, but you just don't want to. You just want to avoid it and stay positive. So ended on that, I guess.
Bro, if that isn't the biggest truth I've ever heard, it's so true, man. 100%, man. Love always wins for sure. Well, I really appreciate that. So if you can hang out for 30 more seconds, I just want to say, first of all, a big thank you to you for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. You provided some serious insight, and I'm really looking forward to everybody hearing this or watching this after the fact, and hope they took their notepad to take some notes. That's mad good. This is a double listener because there's a lot of insight in here. Listen once and then take notes a second time. So, but I also want to give a big thanks and big props to every single person that's watching or listening to this after the fact. Really appreciate you guys. If you made it to the end of the interview, you guys are the true ones. So thank you so much. Best way to support the channel is checking out my own music and checking out and subscribing or listening or whatever it's called on podcasts. I guess you subscribe to a podcast. I don't even know these days. But regardless, following the podcast and the videos, definitely go check out Tyler and all he's doing. All his links will be down in the description below. So check those out. I'll see you guys in the next video. Have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless and peace out.